season. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, located at 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. During the holidays, think of Spiro's for catering and your corporate and private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer. Finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Imagination, Limey, or do you pick this song a lot? Because I think we play this a lot.
And we don't play it that much. It's just kind of easy and quick for me to get to.
So you're lazy.
Yeah, you can say that.
Mike?
Man, I can relate to that.
Yeah, what's going on with your mic there?
I don't know what happened there. Oh, hold on. There we go. Mike called in and said that he can fix one of the jokes. He knows that we're into a getting ready to go into Dan Buffa's segment and everything, but... He said he could fix that pothole joke.
Well, before Mike does that, and Mike, we're going to get right to you, during the break, I think I came up, it's not great, but I think I came up with a punchline for the three-arm guy. So, for those who just joined us, we're trying to write a joke, and we can't do it. And we do setups, so here's the setup. Guy's at a bar, he has three arms, left arm, right arm, an arm growing out of his chest, and on that arm is a wristwatch. Actually, with my punchline, you don't need the watch. So he's got three arms, and he's drinking. Another guy at the bar looks over and goes, "Hey, pal, what's with the three arms? Never saw anything like that. Is there a name for that condition?" The three-arm guy just keeps drinking. The other guy says, "Hey, I'm talking to you, man. It's rude not to answer. Were you born with three arms? Guess you were. You wouldn't have one transplanted. What the heck? What's the deal? Is there a name for it?" The guy just keeps drinking. Bartender, is watching what's going on. The other patron keeps trying to talk to him, but the three-arm guy keeps drinking. A glass in each of three arms. Boom, boom, boom. One, two, three. And then after a while, the bartender says, all right, you're out of here. You're baking soda. And the other guy at the bar goes, what'd you call him baking soda for? He says he's armed and hammered.
Oh my goodness.
Come on, it's an original.
Oh, wow.
It's the best we have so far.
Just take that right
there. I haven't heard better. Let's bring Mike in here. Mike, welcome to 590. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Yeah, that was pretty sad.
I don't disagree.
Okay, let's see if I can do better. All right, so you leave the punchline creating too many potholes, but you got to put it. He throws a joint out in front of a group of nuns.
Okay. And?
That's it.
That's it.
The punchline is creating too many potholes, but when you throw the joint out, you throw it out in front of a bunch of nuns.
How does that make it funny? I'm missing something.
I don't. So there are nuns? Potholes.
Creating potholes. Nuns. Bunch of women.
How is a nun a pothole?
We don't get it. Nobody gets it.
It's just a pothole.
You should see the expressions in the room. Nobody gets it, Mike.
The nuns are picking up the joint and smoking it. They now are potholes.
Okay.
Pot
Mike, maybe you need to just tell the whole joke. Just tell the joke your punchline. Go ahead, tell the joke.
Okay, well, I don't remember the first part of his joke, but okay, they're starting a new ordinance where you're not allowed to throw joints out on the street anymore because this guy, he was driving along and threw his joint out in front of a bunch of nuns. And they cited him for creating a bunch of potholes.
You just put him to sleep, Frank. Just put him to sleep.
Mike, let me start by saying we love you because you're a listener and you're AM and the PM. So no matter what you say or do, we still love you because you're AM and the PM and we appreciate it. But that joke is horrible, and you're the one who just said my joke wasn't sad. This is sadder.
Dan laughs his butt off when I told it to him before.
Mike, here's what you need to know. Dan laughs at everything.
Oh my God.
Okay.
He's not
your litmus test. He laughs at everything. But
okay.
But thank you for trying. Okay, thank you, Mike.
The nuns.
Thanks,
bye. Did anybody get that? Seriously, did anybody get it?
No, but you know what?
A bunch of nuns.
That's a good setup,
so
though.
So he was creating pot. I thought he was going to go somewhere like holy nuns, pot holy, but he didn't.
If you throw the joint out and a bunch of prostitutes pick it up, then you're creating too many potholes.
Yeah.
That's close. Close to making sense or something, but I don't get the nuns.
The nuns.
Five nuns are walking down the street and one falls into a pothole. What do you got left? that's a setup.
Yeah. Oh, so you don't have a punchline?
No, we're setting them up today. Five nuns walking down the street. One of them falls into a pothole. What's left? Four.
Well, how about this? Five nuns are walking down the street. They all fall into the world's biggest pothole. How many are left? None. I don't know. It's better than, at least it has an ending.
See?
So I have some business to do, and then we're going to bring Dan. But Dan Buffa just came out of the green room, and he had I've not tried it yet, the hot stones on the back. Dan, how was that, where they put the rocks on your back? Is that good?
It was very good. I'm actually going to go back in there for a few minutes, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead. I need about 2 minutes.
All right, good. I'll be right back.
I have a wedding update. For those of you who don't know, we are in our house going through this unbelievable wedding planning thing that I now have a whole new appreciation for anybody who's ever had a daughter who got married. This is beyond belief. And we had everything. We had the place. We had the band. Had the date. That is now all scrapped. That's out the window. Now it's going to be Vegas and something real simple, one of those chapels. And, you know, a few people who can, I want to say, afford to go to Vegas, but Dan's telling me you can get a flight to Vegas out of Mid-America Airport for like $80.
Yeah, mm-hmm. something like that. It's nice.
So you're not asking people to drop that much money to go. So now we figure we've gotten it down to 60 or 70 people who will do that as opposed to like 175. But I do want to say something. I want to say something about Mark Russo and the Russo family and their venue out in Cottleville called Piazza Messina. That's where we were going to have the wedding. And by the way, every Friday and Saturday through 2019 is all, they're all booked all year. Except now there's one Friday open, November 15th, because we just opened it back up because we canceled November 15th. But I don't think I have ever dealt with anybody more knowledgeable, more accommodating, more pleasant than Mark Russo and his people at Piazza Messina. Piazza Messina is a brand new venue. And check this out. When we contacted them a couple of months ago, they'd only been open as a wedding venue for 4 weeks. And in 4 weeks, every Friday and Saturday, except for one Friday, was already booked at this place. It's a beautiful venue in Cottleville. And what they've done is they built a place that'll accommodate a real simple wedding, not real expensive, something mid-range, or if you want something lavish and over the top, they can do that too. So to Mark Russo, thank you for being so easy to work with, and I now have a recommendation for anybody who says, hey, where do you think we have a wedding that's not your typical banquet hall or, you know, the usual places? Well, that would be Piazza Messina. And I also had to cancel Johnny Holdsman, the Well Hungarians. They were going to play at the wedding, and Johnny couldn't have been nicer about it because there's plenty of notice here. It was November 15th. So I'll keep you updated. Here's where we are. We're going to Vegas. So far, that's all we know. My daughter's talking to a couple places out there. We're going to try to cut the price of this wedding at least in half, and I think she's going to be able to do it, and I think it's smart. Along the way, I've never told her what she could or couldn't do. I said, there's X amount of money, and that's it. You do what you want with it. And I think she and her fiancé have decided, let's cut this wedding in half and have a little money down on the house. And I think that's very smart. So I'm proud of her for thinking that way. First Community Credit Union has an offer that is still on the table. I'll tell you when it's no longer available, but I hope you don't wait till then, because, of course, then it will be too late. Here's the offer. Take your car payment away from wherever you have it financed, wherever the loan is, and move it over to First Community Credit Union. If you'll do that, and you'll do it now, they'll put $100 into an account for you at First Community Credit Union. There are no strings attached here. It's not one of these deals where you can't touch the money for 2 years. It's your money. It's $100. Just free and clear. It's a gift. It's a thank you for moving your car payment over. And what may happen, and happens in many cases, is that people who do this also find out they have a lower car payment, because the rates at First Community Credit Union are noticeably lower than several other places that do car loans. I can't guarantee it will be lower, but there's a good chance it will. And if the car payment remains the same, you still got $100. It's a really good offer, and one that lots of people jump on every time they do it, but they don't do it but about once a year. So take advantage of it. Why wouldn't you? First Community Credit Union, over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. And, of course, you can find out more at firstcommunity.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Went over the weekend to a movie, and I'll tell you, let me introduce this guy first. He's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the hockey team that's just about to grab the Stanley Cup for the third time this year. They are red hot. Preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, and that, of course, Window World, and you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Give it up, if you would, for Dan Buffa.
Hello.
Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm loving the colder weather out here. We got some snow. I'm liking it. Bring it on.
You're the one.
I am.
You're the one that likes snow.
I like the cold weather.
What I was about to say was I was proud of myself over the weekend. Went to see a Green Book and picked up a box of Milk Duds and was about to pay for them, and I put them back. Oh. I'm so proud. Yeah, thank you. I love milk duds. And I've let some weight creep back on me, and I'm mad at myself, and I hate myself. I think a lot of people know what I'm talking about. You look in the mirror, you put on some pants, and you go, I'm such a loser. I'm such a loser. I can't even keep off the few pounds that I lost. I have no self-control. But we did see Green Book, and I don't remember if you've mentioned it. I think you talked about it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, last week.
I'm going to give it out of 4 ARDs. I don't remember what you gave it. I think 3 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 3.5. I think it's a great story. It's a true story. And if you weren't from the South, which I am, if you never lived in the South, it's a pretty good, accurate description about what it was like in the South for... black people, especially for well-educated, successful black people, because at certain parts of the South, it didn't make any difference. You were still an N-word to
them.
Oh,
yeah.
And it was a very powerful. It's not a downer movie. Would you agree? It's not dark. It's actually got some light, funny parts, which makes it even more enjoyable.
Yeah. Peter Farrelly, who's mostly known for There's Something About Mary, directed it, and he doesn't do dramas. And the fact that he did this, I think that's the reason it was so funny. If somebody else does this movie, it's probably really dramatic, heavy-handed, and depressing. But him having a comedy background really, I mean, I laughed almost, so much I almost felt uncomfortable.
You said Farrelly. I've always heard the Farley brothers. Isn't he one of the Farley brothers?
Yeah, Farley. Oh, I always thought it was Farrelly. Peter Farrelly, or is it Farley?
And see, I've never heard anything but Farley brothers. So, whichever. It's a good movie. I'll leave it at that. One more thing before you take off. I watched now the third installment, because it's on Sunday nights. Watched it two nights ago. Escape at Dannemora on Showtime. It's getting better and better. It's a little slow, but the fact that this is a true story, and this is exactly how it happened, will blow you away, folks. This happened 3 years ago, 2015, when these two guys escaped from this prison up in the New York State. So Escape at Dannemora, I'm really enjoying this. What do you have today?
Yeah, I'm also really enjoying that. And can you believe that, again, that the cast they have for this, Benicio del Toro, can any actor do more with no dialogue?
Maybe no, like, he can look, he just looks at the camera.
He scares me.
He is scary. He's very scary.
But also, one of the guys in that show, maybe you know him, he's been in so many things, David Morse, the prison guard.
Yes.
I love that guy. And I haven't...
Wasn't he on, like, ER or something?
He was in St. Elsewhere, I think. Back. He played a doctor in that show. He was also in The Green Mile with Tom Hanks.
Yes,
He's just... He's such a tall guy, but if there's one guy in that show that scares me a little bit more than Benicio, it's David Morse. But it's a good show, and what's it got? 7 episodes total? We got 4 left?
Yeah, 6 or 7.
Yeah, but it's definitely good. And also, it comes after Ray Donovan. That's a 1-2 punch for the ages right there. But
I agree. Sunday night, we really look forward to sitting down and watching those two shows.
And once again, I will tell you that whenever you're stressed out in life, just do what Ray does. Just don't react to anything, force or trauma or even drama. He never freaks out. Again,
no.
If I could just be more like Ray at all times, especially in traffic. But movie, you know, the thing about November and December is that I sometimes have to skip movies on here because we can only have so much time to do certain reviews. So there's nothing really opened on Friday. So I'm going to skip back to a couple movies that have come out in the past couple weeks that I think people have forgotten about, that maybe skipped over because there's so much out there. There's the Wreck-It Ralph sequel.
Tim loved Wreck-It Ralph.
I did.
I did not. I have not seen it. I missed the screening, and I'm going to have to. Why is it good? Is it as good as the first one?
Well, it's rated PG, and so unlike other animated movies I'd seen in my life, there was some adult humor in it. And that's what really set it apart from other animated movies I'd seen.
Tim, I hate to do this, but Tim's review of Wreck-It Ralph was done so well that I think a lot of people like me who think, well, it's animated, it's a kid's, I don't want to see it. He actually did a really good job, I think, of explaining why, once he got in there and saw it, why it was enjoyable and why now he might think twice about just skipping over an animated film.
I mean, they're
and making... I felt that way about. I told you he needs to watch Toy Story too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean they're making them more. I mean, I thought a movie that had some adult humor was Boss Baby, because there's just so many themes in there that can identify for an adult. They're making them more tailored towards kids and adults. So, and I think being that they're always in the top 5 in the box office, they have to keep that reign. But I have to watch that before Saturday because we are voting the St. Louis Film Critics Association. We have to get our votes in by Saturday, and I have so many movies to watch. And
you
that,
belong to that? Are you one of the film critics?
Yes. There's only 18 members in the group. I'm one of them. They cut it down in the last couple of years. We get a bunch of screeners in the mail. But this time of the year, I mean, we have to watch. I've literally watched like 5 movies in the last day. They don't come out for like weeks, but we have to watch them because the studios want you to vote on them. But the one movie I've not gotten is the Wreck-It Ralph sequel, so I'm going to have to go watch that because we do vote on best animated film. But a movie that is up for documentary and has been out in theaters for a little while, and I think anybody can like this movie, is called Free Solo. This guy...
Never heard of it.
You know, well, it's a guy called Alex Honnold who climbs. He's climbed so many things in his life, but for this one thing, he wanted to climb Yosemite's El Capitan Wall, 3,000 feet high, but there's a slight little change. He does it with no cables, nothing to support him. It is called a free solo climb. He did this last year. It was good, but it gave me a stomach ache to watch him climb.
What did you say this guy's name was?
Alex Honnold.
Is he a Frenchman?
He's not a Frenchman. He's an American.
No? All right, never mind then.
But he is.
Way to go, Limey. Good input.
Thanks.
He's climbed. In this movie, it's about an hour and 25 minutes long. It's very fast. It follows him from prepping because, again, people have climbed this wall. It's a very, you know, Yosemite Park. Everybody goes over there to climb or, you know, go diving off cliffs and, you know, whatever. But nobody has tried to climb this wall with nothing. I mean, he is essentially hanging off a cliff. And if he loses his grip, and this has happened to like at least 5 climbers in the last 10 years, you fall, you die.
What is it? These people who climb upside down, they get to the underside of the
wall. I don't know,
you
yeah.
See these people? What is that about? They're like bats or something.
There's a part in this movie where the guys filming him doing this, of course, they have to look away. Because
I bet cinematically this thing is spectacular.
It is. The score is really good. The music is great. He starts at the bottom, and you know there's parts of the wall that are easy, but there's a part of the wall where he has one hand on one rock, and he has to switch his legs over, and the guy shooting the movie, he has to look away, and I had to look away. I watched it again, but what he does, nobody's done before. And again, one little slip. I mean, his buddy who climbs with him said, look, this is like the Olympics, but if you compete for a gold medal, if you don't win it, you die. Because, I mean, if you slip one little thing and, gosh,
there's something wrong with those people.
I don't know how he does it. This guy, and of course, you know, he's an introvert. He's not a big people's person. He doesn't do a lot of
much. I'm also guessing he's a little bitty guy.
He's very skinny, but he has a hot girlfriend who's also featured in the documentary. And
yeah, my point is, you can't weigh it. Tim and I couldn't do that. We'd fall in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to be a little lightweight spider.
He's a skinny guy. He probably weighs about 135, 140 pounds. And still, the movie, it goes from his prepping for the climb to his climb. You see the whole thing. They don't just show him at the start and at the end. You see him climbing. The cameras are right up on him. You know, the camera crew has cables and they're right next to him, but he has nothing. So imagine if you're the guy with the camera and he just loses his grip.
You get some great footage.
Yeah. Okay.
The guy plummeting to his death.
We lost Alex Cut. But
I have to tell you, you've not said anything that makes me want to see this, and that's not a slam against you. I just don't think I want to sit for an hour and 20 minutes watching a guy climb a rock.
You're never going to be able to see this kind of view up close and personal of a guy doing something for the first time. Imagine if they had cameras on Neil Armstrong the whole time as he was doing that, but they made it more dangerous. Imagine if you didn't have a lot of oxygen. It's like that. If you made the first step on the moon even more treacherous or more hard, that is what Alex does here. I think that, I mean, anybody could watch this and go, wow. I mean, he's doing that with no cables, no support. It's fun and also terrifying to watch.
The only thing I can think of, and you tell me if it's sort of like this, and I also thought, I don't want to go see this movie, and then I went to see it. And wow, and it's the one where the guy has to cut his own arm off. Remember that?
Yeah,
the guy goes hiking, gets wedged in the rocks, he has to cut his arm off. I thought, well, I don't want to sit for
half 127 hours.
Yeah.
And yeah, James Franco, who I guess if you didn't like James Franco, you can watch him cut his own arm off. But he got nominated for an Oscar for that. Yeah, it's like that. But gosh, I mean, this guy, again, if he makes one little mistake, and of course they show you footage of people that have just, I mean, a couple of times that they show you as he's preparing, these are a couple guys that didn't make it. And it freaks you out, even though you're nowhere near this park. But I watched it, because again, you know, when you vote for the awards, you have to watch documentaries, foreign language movies, even though they put me to sleep. You have to watch so much. I watched this, I just kind of threw it in, and it's been out in theaters for 3 weeks, and it's called Free Solo. It's over at the Tivoli or the Plaza Frontenac, one of those great landmark theaters. If you want something different, you want to be freaked out, you want to see something amazing up close, go watch Free Solo.
Right, Free Solo, how many ARDs?
I'm gonna
Four
give it,
being the best of the best.
I'm going to give it, I mean, I'm going to grade this list on documentaries, 3.5. I mean, this movie just, I knew nothing about this guy and what he did, and I was ready to, you know, stay away from rock climbing for the rest of my life.
All right, here we go. 3.5 ARDs, Limey.
All right, Dan. All right.
There you go.
Now I'm going to kick it over to DVD, Redbox, and Blu-ray. And this movie came out in the summer, and again, you know, I can't get to all the screenings, so I missed some good ones. But this one has probably one of my favorite actors in it, Ben Foster. And he's one of the...
How do we... Give us something he was in so we know who this is.
Hell or High Water, he played Chris Pine's brother in the Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine Western. Came out last year. They're two bank robbers. He played kind of the wild, intense brother. He was in 310 to Yuma with... Russell Crowe and Christian Bale.
He was Russell Crowe's like right-hand man.
He had the burnt face. You know, he was the one that was a little... He always plays the unhinged guy. The guy you can't really... You know, you got to worry about a little bit. He was in Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg.
He was in Alpha Dog as well, if you've ever seen that. That came out years ago.
And the thing is, in this movie, which is called Leave No Trace, it was a drama that came out in June. It's now on DVD and Blu-ray. Also up for some award consideration. He kind of goes... against the grain. He's not the intense guy. He's not the, you know, the guy you can't trust. He plays a dad, and I don't know if either of you saw a movie with Viggo Mortensen called Captain Fantastic 2 years ago, where he lived kind of off the grid with his family. It was Viggo Mortensen and his family. They lived in the woods in the Pacific Northwest, and they didn't have any electricity. They just kind of, they grew up and they lived there. This movie is similar. Ben Foster and his daughter, played by Thomasin McKenzie, a woman who in the movie goes by a name Tom, but him and his daughter, they live in the woods. They live in Portland, Oregon State Park, and the movie starts out and they have their own little existence out here, and a small mistake kind of derails their whole life. And the idea of what you consider home is kind of debated, because, you know, child services comes into play. They want to take the daughter away, even though she's perfectly fine with her father. But it really brings into the kind of debate about, if you're out there and you're safe and you've created a good, safe environment for your daughter, there's nothing wrong with it. And
okay,
that's
this,
so,
this, you know what this reminds me of? What's the movie with Woody Harrelson?
Oh, yeah.
His whole family just kind of lives off the land.
Was it Castle or something?
Recently? Which one is it? Woody.
Glass Castle.
Glass Castle.
Yes, Glass Castle.
Yeah, it sounds similar to that.
Kind of like that. I mean, again, the movie starts out, and, you know, his daughter, I think she's around, I would say, gosh, 12 or 14. She's not a young girl, but she's kind of about to be a teenager, and she can take care of herself. And they're living out in this state park, but you know what's going to happen. They're, you know, a ranger's going to find them, and they're going to kind of get taken in, and then you don't know what's going to happen to them. And, I mean, the thing about this movie is not a lot happens in it. But you can relate to it if you're a father, and, you know, of course, if you're a daughter or a son. What if you lived out in the woods with your dad, and somebody told you it was wrong, but you thought it was right? And, I mean, and of course, Ben Foster's character suffers from PTSD. He's a former war veteran, and the movie has a quiet little thing about the way war veterans, they come home and there's no really jobs for them. The way that this country treats their veterans is just kind of, it's cruel, and it's terrible that there's no really work for them when they come home. So what he does, he sells off his medication to fund his life in the woods. But it's just, it's an intense movie. It's well done. The girl in this movie, you're going to be hearing about her a lot, But if you, again, a change of pace, I always tell these movies sometimes, if you want something different, something that's going to kind of maybe start a conversation among you and your friends and your family, Leave No Trace. It's on iTunes, and it's on DVD and Blu-ray, and it's going to be up for some awards, at least with our group that is. Again, I was late to it. Everybody else in the film critics group saw it. It's up for screenplay. It's up for the actress who's not even more than 15 or 16 years old. She's going to be up for Best Supporting Actress. But, again, you probably haven't heard of it, but if you do like The Glass Castle and you like Captain Fantastic with Viggo Mortensen, you'll like this movie. And it's a rare showcase for Ben Foster, who usually is shoved into the supporting role. He gets to kind of like to be the lead guy here. So I was excited to watch it, and I liked it, and I think if you're up for something different, you will too. Leave No Trace. I'm going to give that 3.
All right, and let me ask you this. Is it as good as Glass Castle, would you say?
I would say it's better because I like Ben Foster's character more than I liked Woody Harrelson's character.
One of the things that makes Glass Castle so good to me is that's a true story. Actual family. So to me, that gives it a leg up just because it actually happened.
Yeah, this is based on a book, but I believe the book, without looking it up, the book is called My Abandonment by Peter Rock. I think it's a fictional book. I don't think it's a true story. So if the true story angle gets you, then yeah, Glass Castle. But this is kind of like that, but it's just a father and his daughter. And again, you know what's going to happen. They're going to find it. But you don't know what the daughter's going to choose in the end. That's the big thing. Is she going to choose to be with her dad out in the woods, or is she going to choose a normal existence? That's the whole crutch. And really, you know, if my kid was, you know, in 10 years, if I took him out in the woods, say, hey, Vinny, we're going to live next to this tree. No more McDonald's, no more Starbucks. He probably would choose to go live next to Starbucks and ditch his dad. But
that's to leave No Trace, 3 ARDs.
3 ARDs.
All right, here they come.
All right, Dan.
And again, DVD and iTunes only.
You yes.
It's not on TV anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was in at the Tivoli forever. And again, this is one of those I just miss. And then, you know, the screener comes in the mail and go, oh, that's the one from June that I wanted to watch. But again, I mean, if you like some action, it doesn't have a lot of action. It's more of a drama. So,
All right.
Free Solo and Leave No Trace. But I got to say, I got to wish a happy birthday to a certain actor today, and his name is Jeff Bridges.
I knew it.
69.
Whoa.
hey, knock it off. Knock that stuff off.
Hey, Limey, right. It's a very nice age, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no kidding. Mutually beneficial.
Now, I'm going to...
I like Jeff Bridges. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything where I might not have liked the movie, but I didn't see anything
he's
where I didn't
good.
Like him. He's real solid.
Now, I'm going to ask a question of the whole room. We all know that he's the dude, so that you cannot say Big Lebowski, even though I love that movie. But what is your, outside of that movie, what is your favorite Jeff Bridges performance? Just off the top of your head, I will tell you who he has been in 90 credits to his IMDb page, 90 different
Whoa.
Roles.
Wow. All right.
That's a tough one.
Mine is very easy, and it's more recent, but I'm going to send it to, let's go to Limey first. What do you think, Limey? What do you got?
Mine is more of an indie film he did. It's called The Amateurs, and it is absolutely hilarious. Yeah. It's about this down-on-his-luck single dad, divorced father, I should say. He's trying to earn money, you know, become a reputable person so he can buy his kid nice things, and he convinces the fellow townspeople to make a porno. And it's pretty funny, I gotta say.
Good.
Absolutely hilarious.
Wow. Strauss, what do you got?
Wasn't he the bad guy in Breakdown with Sandra Bullock and
No, I think that was J.T. Walsh.
No. Yeah, it was
Kurt
Walsh.
Russell. Kurt Russell and gosh, who was the girl in that movie?
Sandra Bullock.
God, she was in that.
No,
wow.
No. Hold on. She wasn't the wife. No. Sandra Bullock was not the wife in Breakdown.
No way.
J.T. Walsh was the bad truck driver.
Great truck driver.
Then I'm thinking of something else, then.
Let's see. When has he played the bad guy? I think about him and him playing the bad guy. Well, Iron Man. He played Obadiah Stone.
Yeah, no, there was a movie with Kurt Russell and Sandra Bullock.
Vanishing.
The Vanishing.
Yeah,
that's it.
Kiefer Sutherland, he played.
Kiefer Sutherland, that's it.
That was freaky because he kidnaps her at the gas station.
Yes. And that's my favorite movie with Jeff Bridges.
And that's where he got confused, because Breakdown takes place at a gas station, too. Yeah,
exactly.
Kathleen Quinlan was the wife.
Ooh, Kathleen Quinlan. Yeah, she's kind of a hottie.
My problem with trying to tell you a Jeff Bridges movie, I'm sitting here and I can't think of but two or three. So I
Apex.
You know, I don't have a good. No, yeah, you know, the Fabulous Baker Boys with his brother was actually very enjoyable. And Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, back when she was very, very pretty.
K-Pax features Kevin Spacey, but I'm going to tell you, it's one of my top 20 favorite movies of all time. It'll freak you out if you sit there and listen to it.
And I will say, Tim, the end of that movie, if you don't get choked up in the last 5 minutes of that movie, where everything kind of comes together, I'm not going to give it away, because if you haven't seen it, you have to go in it's there like just
a,
blind.
It's like a Saw ending, Frank. You know, it just really sticks with you.
And Jeff Bridges, you know, I mean, they don't know if Kevin Spacey's kind of if he's an alien or if he's he's kind of a crazy person. But it is one again, Kevin Spacey, who is now banished forever, such a good actor, but just a terrible human being off the screen. So good in this movie, it makes you sad. But for me, Dan, did you go, Dan?
I went The Vanishing. Vanishing. Yeah.
Okay, for me, 2009. He played a country music singer in Crazy Heart.
I didn't like that.
I thought he was just tremendous. He was a guy kind of like the Bradley Cooper Star is Born character, a guy who was kind of in the twilight of his career, drinking too much. He meets Maggie Gyllenhaal and kind of rescues him a little bit. Colin Farrell had a good little small role in that as Tommy Sweet, one of his young singers. But he was good in that. He did all of his own singing. Of course, he sings a little bit in real life. But that movie, as far as him owning it, it was really good. But also White Squall, where he was a ship captain, that was also good way back in the day. I think it was like 2002. But, yeah, 90 different movies or roles that he's been in, and he's 69. But also,
I'd like to make an amendment. I would like to change mine to Tron, the first one.
Yeah, the first that. One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not the remake movie with Garrett Hedlund.
No, that was horrible.
Speaking, since we're talking about Jeff Bridges, earlier we were talking about Tourette's syndrome, and there are two forms of it. There's the verbal and the physical. Everybody knows Bo Bridges, but they've got another brother who has a rare, weird disease where he'll just be standing, he'll just fall down. London.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Here it comes. Down. There it is. Oh, wait.
Get it?
Now you do write jokes.
That wasn't a joke. That wasn't actually a joke.
Yeah.
Do we get a mic on to add something to that, or no? No way.
Mike who?
I'm sorry?
The guy in the beginning of the hour who tried to call and add on to the joke that fell flat?
I don't think so. No.
All right.
we'll pass on that.
We're speaking we're speaking of birthdays really quick. We wanted to do our best movies, but Marissa Tomei, who is 54 years old, and let me tell you something. Let me tell you if you agree or not. I think she's hotter than she was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's still
I think that's true of
gorgeous.
A lot of women. I think a lot of women are better looking after 40, 45, then they weren't there.
How about Susan Sarandon on Ray Donovan every Sunday?
How old is she?
Are we giving her a boing?
She has to, yes.
Big
she
boing.
Has to be 70 at least.
I think she's, Tim, the research expert, I'm going to say 66.
Susan Sarandon.
Hang on.
Oh, wow.
Siri, how old is Susan Sarandon?
Susan Sarandon is 72.
Susan Sarandon is 72.
Hey!
72. My God. It's illegal how good she looks.
But she looks like she looked when she was 45. She hasn't changed her look.
She looks better than when she was in Bull Durham. That was 30 years ago.
And there's something nasty about her in a sort of a dirty, sexy, nasty way. She doesn't ever look squeaky clean.
You can't trust her.
Yeah, exactly. And in a good way, she looks dope.
And I'll tell you what, I think she's going to come back and hurt Ray somehow in this season. That's his prediction for the season, Ray Donovan. I think the person that employs Ray Donovan is going to end up stabbing him in the back. That's a prediction.
You know what I'd like to do? You're on, I guess, two more times before Christmas.
Yes.
We ought to do one Tuesday where we just do the best of the best Christmas movies. Some for adults, some for kids, because there are some tremendous Christmas
movies. There
really are. Some of them people just flat out forget about or never heard of. And every year I mention the same one, and it's Prancer. And I never hear anybody else talk about Prancer. I don't read or see anything about Prancer. Prancer, to me, is a terrific family Christmas movie. And the Sam Elliott is in it, for goodness sake.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's in it. I haven't seen it for a while.
Well, Sam Elliott's been in this almost every other movie. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's been in over 100 movies. I think I looked at his IMDb. He has been in everything.
I guess you saw the story where these idiots decided now for the rest of us that we shouldn't show anymore on television the old Rudolph animated thing. Now they say that because there's bullying in it and Rudolph gets bullied. Screw these people.
Baby, it's cold outside. They can't play that song anymore. I love that song.
They're going to take away
songs. They're going to take away Winnie the Pooh because he's wearing one shirt. He's not wearing pants.
Right. No, they're not, because at just a certain point, the rest of us have to rise up and go, you know what, enough.
That's enough
of you six people telling everybody what
Stop
to do.
Stop being but so offended.
But they won't say anything about rap music.
No, nothing.
Don't. We have 10 minutes left. If anybody is listening and has a suggestion, something that's in the theater, something that maybe you think more people should know about that's good on TV, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. If anybody calls, Dan will take the name and put it on the screen. While we wait for that, you said you had an Uber story.
You know, I'll make this quick. I have an Uber rant. It's not really a story. Okay, so over the first 14, 15 months of my Uber driving experience, I got one-star rating. And I knew why. It was a mix-up. I picked up the wrong rider, and the guy who I didn't pick up got mad. I deserved that one star. I took it. But in the last month, guys, I have gotten two. And let me just say, 2,142 rides in just about, I'd say about 17, 18 months, I've had a 4.96 rating out of 5. And, I mean, again, I keep a clean car. I drive good. I'm on my phone. I only talk if they want to talk, because you got to know some people just don't want to talk. But I have gotten 2 1-star ratings, and the reason I complain about this is because the rider has all the power. The driver has no power, because when we drop somebody off, we have to rate the rider before we can take another ride. You cannot get away from the screen, so then we have to give them a rating. And I've given every rider. I've never had a problem with a rider. I mean, they've all gotten 5 stars.
Well, let me back up a minute. You said you got a 1 star from somebody because you picked up the wrong passenger.
Well,
how's that your fault?
No.
If you pull up and somebody else goes, "Hey, man, let's go," and they jump in the car, why is that your fault?
It's my job to confirm their name, and usually I do this 99% of the time. I go, "John, Lewis, Leslie," and they'll go, "Yep." So I didn't do that, but he gave me a 1-star rating because my app froze and I couldn't refund his money. So it was a whole thing. Again, I don't think I really deserved it, but I understood why. I knew who it was. These 2-star ratings and it's 1 stars, I don't know who they are. Uber does not tell us. And I know why, because you might get some crazy guy that wants to go track him down and go, "You gave me a one." You know, imagine Liam Neeson getting a 1-star rating.
Or maybe it's another Uber driver who had you pick him up just so he could give you a 1-star.
And one,
maybe he's jealous.
One
doesn't deserve that. That, once again, misuse of a sound.
What?
That's not a dun-dun-dun moment.
Somebody also said that maybe if you complain enough, Uber will give you a refund. And I think that's the one that people have told me the most. Complain enough, they can make some bogus excuse that maybe I was on my phone or I took hard corners and stopped the car a bunch. Because I just, the driver has no power. All we have to do is get an email from Uber going, "You got a 1-star rating, Dan, and we're not going to tell you anything else." I wish they would. Here's what Uber should do. They should ask that rider a reason, and then they should determine, okay, based on this driver's history, does he do this? No, that rating's not going to stick. We disregard that. Because privacy is one thing, but if we don't get a voice, I mean, it's just not fair. It makes me mad. It's more of an Uber rant. It's not a story. It's just 2 1-star ratings.
Right.
Look,
relax.
I do. Relax. I'm not. I'm a little fired up.
Relax.
Decaf.
We have Don on the phone.
We have. That's what I was going to say. We'll take we'll turn a corner here. We'll go to Don, because apparently Don has a movie or TV show he wants to talk to us about. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you. What do you have?
And I just left Ronnie's, where they have old movies to show occasionally. I just saw It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen.
Oh, whoa! Classic.
You know what? They've done that for years, too, and I think that's a great idea.
I think it's Tuesdays, right?
What did it cost, Don? Yeah. Like $1? What did it cost?
$5 on Tuesdays.
Wow.
And you get and you get free popcorn.
Oh,
well,
I'm
that's
there.
That's worth another $12 right there.
That's such a classic movie.
One of my favorite Christmas movies is Love Actually.
Yeah.
They're going to be showing that, I think, in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Hugh Grant.
Say, Hugh, oh, I can't stand you.
There was just one, like, TBS.
But when he does that dance, it's so funny when he does that dance as the prime minister.
I am telling you, that movie is a great movie to play if you're trying to have a romantic night with your lady friend. It is.
The Walking Dead guy was in that before he was on The Walking Dead. Richard Grimes, is that his name in the show?
Yep.
Andrew Lincoln, a clean-shaven Andrew Lincoln, tries to get with Keira Knightley. And he runs into some resistance from a guy.
I don't understand why women like Hugh Grant. There's nothing manly about Hugh Grant.
No, there's not.
It's the accent.
He's almost a girl.
It's the accent.
It must be the accent.
It's the
you
voice.
Would say that.
Hey, Don jumped in and said
something. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, you know.
Don, what did you say?
I don't think it's a Birmingham accent that women like.
No, it's not, Don.
No, good point, Don.
I was. Thank you. That's all I have to say. I wish it was about half full, and if more people go, they may do some things more like this, which I think was great.
I was going to first say $5 seemed a little steep, but when you said the popcorn was free, that kind of makes it, that changes everything. That's a pretty good deal.
Well, here's the thing. On Tuesdays at Marcus Theaters, all the shows are $5. So you can go, let's just say if you miss a new release, you can go watch it. You can spend all day at Marcus Ronnie's and just watch movies, watch four movies for $20. It's the best day to go to the movies.
Don, thank you for reminding people about that. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. I know this is going to make me sound 100 years old, but on my 15th birthday, I don't know where I got it, but I got $5 for my birthday. I think it was my aunt that gave it to me. And this is going to be hard for a lot of people to believe, especially people Limey's age. I took the $5, and I only had two friends, Mac and Larry. And I called them. I said, hey, it's my birthday. I'm going to take you guys with me. We're going to go to Wolf's Restaurant and get hamburgers, and we're going to go to the movies. On Saturday, the movie showed two movies. On $5, we went and each had a giant cheeseburger and a milkshake and went to a double feature movie. Three of us for five. I still remember the price of the movie. The movie was 40 cents.
Oh, wow.
That, I know that makes me sound ancient.
Wow.
But
40 cents.
Look, my wife and I go to the movies in bursts. Like this time of year, we've seen like six movies in the last 4 weeks. All right, and then we'll go for 3 months and not even go. Every night we go, just the two of us. There's never a night that I don't drop $30, $35. Easy.
It is very expensive to go to the movies. I mean, if you get a popcorn and a drink, you're paying $10, $12, $15 easy.
Another thing that's hard to believe that when I was younger, I used to have to get up and walk 10 feet across shag carpeting to change the channel in the TV.
That's ridiculous.
How did we do it?
I don't know.
How did we do it? And here's we talked about this before real quickly. There was a time when if you went, whether it was a drive-in or movie theater, every movie was preceded by a cartoon. There was a cartoon before every movie. Why did that stop and when? And just like all of a sudden you notice no more cartoons.
Was it the Great Depression?
No, I don't think anything. Roadrunner, Woody Woodpecker. The most common was Woody Woodpecker was, to me, what I remember was the most common one before a movie. and then there was a cartoon, and then the movie came on. And I don't know exactly how that ended or why it ended, but we're out of time. I say, let's do this again next Tuesday. How about you, Dan? Is that okay?
Yes, a lot of good movies coming out in December with Oscar. In the coming weeks, I'm going to review probably one of the best movies I've seen this year. It is called Vice, about Dick Cheney, where Christian Bale plays Dick Cheney. That's a deep tease. Review later on in the month. For now, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough.
All right, thank you, Dan Buffa, everybody. Also coming out real soon is a Mule with Clint Eastwood. I want to see that. That looks really good. Dan Buff is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. If you'd like to know more about this fantastic value, Window World, then go to windowworldstlouis.com. Stay right where you are. Got a great joke for you. A couple of stories. After the news with Tim Woodburn, it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump is visiting with members of the Bush family at Blair House across the street from the White House. The late President George H.W. Bush is lying in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. Earlier, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa said the former president showed grace and integrity.
It's a good example that it shows respect that people are not going to be unselfish in their service.
There will be a state funeral for America's 41st president tomorrow at the Washington National.